The Secret Life of Plants. With Volubin, we were on the right track. And now comes the same treatment given to the inner life of animals. The only difference is that this subject has, especially in the last 10 years or so, taken off as a field of serious research and popular books, especially by Jonathan Balcombe, the oceanologist Carl Safina, and many others. The trend was started, I believe, way back in 1982 by the great Harvard biologist Donald Griffin, who wrote the book The Question of Animal Awareness. These books have proved immensely popular, precisely because the general population knows that what is being described is true from their own experiences. Who, living with a dog or cat or parrot, could ever doubt that these animals feel as much as we do? Or even more than we do, I would now venture after reading what Volubin has to say. I believe, too, that this movement has led to transformation in the dietary practices of many millions of people around the world. If we can safely eat alternative food, why cause unnecessary suffering, is the thinking, a sentiment with which I happen to agree completely. I am not entirely certain where Volubin comes out in this increasingly urgent debate, but he makes absolutely no secret of his profound loathing of sport hunting by providing a sense of what the animals actually feel. His writing is a tour de force. Volubin's love of animals is apparent on every page of this absorbing book, and he has a special gift for allowing the rest of us to feel his enthusiasm and share in his knowledge and personal observations in a very simple way, all the while giving us good ammunition to demonstrate to skeptics how obvious his thesis is when you stop to think about it. How far does he take it? Well, considering this is the man who has convinced the world that trees love their saplings, one has to be prepared for pushing the boundaries. Volubin does not disappoint. Ticks? You want to deny them any feelings? Well then, be prepared for a counter-argument from our author. I won't give it away, but everything he writes makes sense. That is one of his great strengths, and what made his first book so adored. He says something completely out of left field, and within a few paragraphs, he convinces you he is right and traditional science has been wrong for years. Volubin convinced me over and over. Want to know the difference between the way hedgehogs and squirrels dream? Volubin will tell you. You will learn a lot about bees because the author keeps them, and he insists that they plan for the future, reflect on things they have not yet seen, and are aware of their bodies in relation to these things, and so they are self-aware. By the way, did you know that bees must visit 125,000 flowers to get enough nectar to produce a single ounce of honey? Gems like this are scattered throughout the book. Butterflies, too, come in for some interesting observations. One of the great strengths of the book is how widely the author casts his net. Tardigrades, also known as water bears, anyone? It is hard to say what animal he is most fond of, but I was particularly impressed with his many accounts of pigs and their sensitive nature, and, of course, their intelligence. When a law protected them from hunting in the canton of Geneva, but not in neighbouring France, as soon as the first shots of the season were fired, the wild boar swam across the Rhone to the safety of Switzerland. I can't help wondering what kind of world we would live in if we never hunted. Even when the territory is familiar, it is good to be reminded, for instance, that ravens and wolves form what appear to be friendships. Now, I know that a number of scientists will be up in arms about the way Volubin proves a thesis. Take this as an example. A particularly moving example that animals, too, are capable of empathy across species lines comes from the Budapest Zoo. Alexander Medves was visiting the zoo and filming the brown bear in its enclosure when suddenly a crow fell into the moat. The bird began to weaken as it thrashed about and was in danger of drowning when the bear intervened. It carefully took one of the bird's feathers in its mouth and pulled the bird back to land. The bird lay there as though petrified before it pulled